This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I like having fun, I like to laugh, I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun, yes, I like it to laugh, I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Holy Father, welcome! Holy Father, welcome! What? What? Wait a minute. Holy Father! Holy Father, today, Holy Father, this morning, we come to you on bended knee and ask for you to look over us and watch us throughout the morning, making sure we are safe and sound and our energy levels are up so that we can deliver to our audience, to the wonderful Office Hours community, and Patreons as well, paying members of the community, welcoming them and also wishing them a great Thursday. What else? This is my impression of a guy in the public bathroom. Maybe it's a large public bathroom. And here he is it's a crowded public bathroom, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind, and there is a bit of a line developing. Mm-hmm. Be right out! Just taking a shit! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. We like to have fun, we like to laugh. I want to welcome my sidekick.
That me?
My sidekick here goes by the name of DJ Doug Pound, my number one sidekick. Didn't I? What's that?
Sounds like a lot of work.
How are you doing this morning, Doug?
Good morning, T.
Vic couldn't be here. Oh, wait, here, Vic. My other sidekick over my left, sort of like the devil and the angel over here.
You think?
Good and the bad. Vic, you're the good guy. You're a good guy.
I'm trying to be nicer these days. And I don't know. If Doug's going to be the bad guy, I got to be the nice guy.
I want to welcome you. I want to welcome producer Matt. And
thank you.
Very special guest is here with us in studio. We'd like to debut the new, very new, fresh coat of paint, redesigned guest zone. Ladies and gentlemen, Whitmer Thomas is breaking us in.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be the one. It's a true honor.
We are going to make sure that all guests are color-coded with the wall. And so you're starting that tradition now.
I was trying to think of something to wear that I wouldn't regret later, and I regret it.
You do? What do you have underneath? Is it a plain white, or is it a ironic tee of some kind?
Yeah.
I knew it would be. copyright violation! Uh-oh. Copyright violation! We're going to get danged!
Wow. But it's pretty funny. Muscles. It's a funny one.
Every day of my life, I'm forced to add another, I'm sorry, I'm not a great reader, to add another name to the list of people who piss me off. That is so true. Every day somebody gets added to my shit list.
Oh, yeah.
Should I take the hat off? I forgot I was wearing it. My hair is a nightmare right now.
I was going to say, I was watching you on stage a couple nights ago, and I was saying that you have dream hair.
No, well, it's too dreamy.
He does have dream hair.
No, you have the ideal hair.
Why would I
want to
look like this, like I'm in, what's that band, the grunge band?
from the
Incubus.
No, come on, they're not what? Grunge.
Bush.
No.
Silverchair.
Local H.
Alice in Chains.
Oh, Alice. No, nah, you got Lane the ideal. Staley. That's the ideal.
This is the shit. This is so. What I look awful.
Well, maybe no. I mean, if you stop doing that, you won't look like that.
You look like a TikToker. Like just a something hot
I
would TikToker. Say.
Like I could do. Do I have a comb? I could do this.
That's cool.
Hi.
That's Connor Oberst.
I know. Wait, okay, Connor Oberst. That's what I'm going for now. Yeah. Hey, everybody. What's his deal?
That's not what he sounds like.
Hi, everybody.
Sticks his tongue out for no reason.
Hey, my band's name is Brother. Hey, babe. I like music. I like rap music. What does he? What kind of? What does he sound like? You're friends with him?
No, I mean, I don't know him. I'm a big fan. He sounds kind of like just a little guy singing with a little acoustic guitar.
What kind of music is? I don't even know.
A folk kind of singer songwriter.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Another one of them. Hey, here I am. Here come Doug comes in this morning. I tell you something big.
Oh,
Doug
geez.
Comes
now
in.
What?
No, this is nice. It's nothing but compliments today. Doug comes in, goes, hey, T, what do you think about them Dire Straits? I go, I'm making sure I'm not walking into a booby trap here. A, a pun, or B, he's going to say, how can you like them? They're awful. But he goes, these guys are the greatest. More or less.
I don't know if I said
no,
that.
No, but you're like, what, did you listen to some podcast on them or something?
I've just been learning about them on a podcast.
Doug goes to Dire Straits University. He's getting his degree in Dire Straits.
There's a good guitar solo in this one.
What happened then is I was in a bad mood. I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons why.
I straightened you out.
And suddenly Doug brings in this ray of light, and he reminds me quickly how much I love Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah.
Love Romeo and Juliet. And Vic steps in a pile of shit when he tells me this. That he doesn't even, he's never even heard So Far Away from You or me.
Did you know that one?
Nope.
See, I'm not the only
one.
Matt, did you know that one?
Of course.
Oh,
it was a huge
hit.
Did. I walked in and this place was just silence and no hi. So you know, no one said hi to me. And it was, I was like, oh, great.
That's right. Yeah, everyone was staring at this wall.
I'm sitting over here thinking, what can I say to bring... Bring Tim back to life. Well, Knopfler came to mind.
The situation was, and you appreciate this, because you're a guy that gets shit done.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what might have been number one thing people say.
We're going to get, are you kidding me? You don't think they're dinging? They're
so they
dinging this shit.
I need this, so yeah, I don't want this to get pulled down.
No. Guys.
I'm sorry.
We painted the wall last week. I didn't paint the wall. Somebody painted the wall. Matt didn't paint the wall, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you.
And it's all right. Well, good. Wall's painted. Looks nice. Now we got to set the rest of it up. We got to do some set design work here. All right. I say, come on in anytime. All week. You, Matt, and Wes got it ready. Don't worry. We'll get it done. We'll get it done. It gives me one of those lines. Don't worry about it, T.
Okay.
And then it comes down to, we'll come in early. I hate that when people say we're going to come in early and do something, you're not coming in early. Trust me.
I was in 10 minutes early.
And yeah, so 8:30 comes around, nobody's here, 8:40, so they sort of saunter in. Yeah, we got to do this.
So Tim, are you just
and
sitting here in the
it's
dark?
It's not automatic. This stupid shit takes a lot of work. Oh, my God.
Tim, were you just sitting here by yourself, like, at 8 o'clock? Like, they're not here yet. Like, every minute that ticks by, the boiling kettle.
And I can't, there's a couch in here. I would do it myself, but it's a two-man job. So, energy levels, anger was high. Energy, low. Doug comes in, thank God, by the grace of God, comes in and improves my mood, thanks to Mark Knopfler and whoever else is in that band, we don't know. Talk about a band that doesn't have any other members anyone cares about.
No, controversial lyrics some every now and then.
In what way? In what way?
They say some controversial lyrics.
Like what?
He drops an F word in the Money for Nothing song.
That,
all the time. Quiet
every
time.
Easy now. Yeah. Everybody, everyone wants to chime in.
And I quote that little...
Give the guest the lane.
Let me do it.
He has a thought.
Wait, sing the song. Let's hear.
There's that little... guy wearing makeup He has his own jet engine. He's a millionaire or something like that.
His own and jet engine.
Oh, he says the F word?
They're saying it, though, from the perspective.
It's a character.
It's about people making fun of Prince.
It's right. Like the Randy Newman.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm down.
Now, I heard something about Prince.
Small. Oh, he's small.
He's like petite. Purple.
Yeah.
Who was it that? Oh, it was Sinead O'Connor has said on the record, I think, in her book, that he was very inappropriate with her. Like more than that, it was more like a it was like a hostage. It was like a kidnapping situation with her.
More like fingerprints.
No.
Jesus Christ. You know what?
That's it.
That's it. I'm done with him. He went on my good side to my...
Don't fire me. Talk about Dire Straits again.
I don't know. We love it all.
Whitmer, I'm going to look at the chat to see how the fingerprints joke worked.
Yeah, you ever think about going by Thomas Whitmer? I think that's not a bad idea.
I tried to change my name, to be honest.
Really?
A year and a half ago. I did.
What for?
Because I don't like Whitmer.
Mm.
It's confusing. Everybody Whitmer. Thinks it's my last name. And I wanted to just be Whit. Professionally.
Well, you can just call yourself Whit.
Yeah, but I was like, I want it Whit on IMDb.
Whit.
And they said, nah, you can't do that.
You ever get a little whistle in there, though? You say, Whit.
No, I delivered groceries forever, and people would go...
Forever?
What? Yeah, for a long time. Okay. People would go, what's your name? And I say, my name's Whit. And they go, what are you, a comedian?
Really?
Whit. And I'd
tell them, you're witty.
I'd tell them, yeah. Come to UCB. Yeah,
guess what? I am. How'd you get started in doing comedy? That's the way I begin my interviews with the comics.
Thanks, man.
How'd you get into the business? And then we'll get to everything else. We'll get this over with.
The short answer is me and my buddies were in a band, and then nobody liked us. We talked too much. We were annoying.
Yeah. What was the band called?
We were called Tooks. Terrible, bad band name. Nobody knew how to pronounce
Tookus?
It. Yeah, kind of like that. Tookus.
Isn't that cute?
Nice? Talk too much, annoying, and then we just sort of stopped doing music and started just talking. And then we became a sort of a sketch troupe.
Down in Birmingham?
This was in L.A. We had moved to L.A. to get into showbiz.
As a band?
Well, we're like, let's make movies and stuff, but then we just started playing music because that's what we were doing
clowns?
In Alabama. They're still doing stuff with
good.
Me.
One of them's Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett, yeah.
Who else? But are you friendly with
my buddies Clay Tatum, Bud Diaz, Rodney.
Well, Clay Barry. Directed your stand up special.
Yeah,
which was very good.
Oh, thanks, pal.
It was very it's very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's it's
a lot.
I was watching it being like, I should do something like that, but I don't have that story.
Just make it up. It's true.
And it doesn't it didn't ring true.
It's not true. My mom's doing great.
Yeah. the golden
one should have been the golden boy.
Not to be confused with the Golden Child, a film starring Eddie Murphy that I watched probably every day for a while when I was 12.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Always on TV.
Always on the HBO. Listen, let's talk about today's show. We are going to try to introduce Sopranos puns today, if anybody's interested in that, because we're still in the wake of the many saints of Newark. Everyone wants to say New York, but it's Newark. Doug.
Bad title for a movie, with all due respect.
All due respect.
Just call it Sopranos movie number one. You know what I mean?
How about Sopranos movie one of many?
Or like Sopranos Wars.
Little
Soprano.
Kind of
like Star Wars.
Little Soprano.
Mm-hmm. Rise of the Sopranos.
I mean, there is going to be another
Rise
one, right?
Of the Sopranos.
Is there going to be a second one?
Who knows?
Because, like, I mean, I don't want to get
I wouldn't
away
mind
the
them
ending,
taking another whack, like, whack at the bat with that idea, you know?
No pun intended.
But the thing,
they're going to do a remake. Now, listen. What do you know? The stock market's insane right now. Uh-huh. It's going up. It's going down. You know what Tony said to his consigliere about this? When he saw what was going on in the market, he goes, sell, 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 sell. You understand that? Ooh. Love this song. Now, are you a Sopranos fan?
I've seen the first three seasons.
Okay.
Let me tell you where I left off. Chris sits on a dog.
Oh God.
And then
that's fucked up.
My friend who I was watching it with kept watching all of it.
And you said you bailed. You said I can't do
no,
this.
No, I wanted to keep, but they just watched all of it, and then I sort of missed my window.
I see.
biggest mistake of my life. I wish I could be talking about this many states in Newark with everybody. But
no, that's okay. Well, that'll be a time for you to just observe and sit back and enjoy the show as an audience member.
That'd be really nice.
I was just quick wondering, it's not about Sopranos, but it's about another, like it's a movie and a book, but trying to remember the name of that guy. He was like a wizard. And I think it was from the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. I think he's named Gandalf, isn't he?
Gandalf, isn't he?
Gandalf, isn't he?
Gandalf, isn't he? Gandalf, isn't he? Yeah, it is. That's correct, Vic.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
How about we take a quick zoomer, just say good morning and welcome to the show. A lot of people are excited to talk. Josh.
They've got puns.
Oh, you got somebody, Matt?
Go ahead. John Galantini's got a pun for us already.
The great John Galantini calling in from London, England. Just married.
Hello, chaps.
Hello. Chappy.
I really enjoyed that Sopranos film. Did you guys all go and see it, or just some of you?
Everybody but Wit. It was not okay. in the gang. But yeah, I think all four of us went. Yeah. And Wes, Luke.
They're all there.
And
about 20 other,
20 other patrons.
They were nice people. It was very lovely. The whole thing was nice.
I spent $48 on snacks.
On a pretzel.
On one pretzel. Got the Bavarian legend.
So, cool. What
I've got a Sopranos pun for you.
What do you got? I got to take this stupid watch off because I get bings and bongs on it.
So why did Tony Soprano phone Ghostbusters?
Why did Tony?
Because of the Gabagool.
Oh, the ghoul. Oh.
Gabagool. Gabagool.
G-H-O-U-L.
That was one of my criticisms of the movie. They didn't mention Gabagool once.
No, I said this. Exactly. I called into the best show, Tom Sharpling's show, and I said they did. I thought that showed great self-control, great restraint on behalf of David Chase. Let's not give them everything.
Not so much. Yeah. Not so much in Junior Sopranos, you know, when he keeps on saying the C word.
Yeah.
Is that like his
Can I just stop you there, John? I got to talk. I don't want the whole show to be. We got to have some structure here. First of all, I don't want to box out Wit. I also want to talk Sopranos with our other guest today, Drew Maggery, or Maggery. We're going to get to the bottom of that too.
Menagerie. Excited about that.
So, John, I appreciate it. I just don't want to get into a discussion on that. You understand me?
I understand.
I understand. I understand.
I understand. It's okay.
All right. Let's move things along. Thank you, John. Are you well? How's married life?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really good. I'm well. I'm happy. I'm working hard. I'm enjoying the show.
Kind of looking like...
What more could you want?
You know, he's kind of looking like his Joe Perry right now.
Oh, yes,
He kind of looks like
Joe Pesci.
No, yeah. Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
I've got a guitar.
Yeah, look at
that. Would you like to hear some Dire Straits?
Dug-a-dunk-a, dug-a-dunk-dunk. Come on, give us a little dug-a-dunk-a, dug-a-dunk-dunk.
There you go.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
He looks like Wayne Coyne.
Wayne Coyne. Little Russell Brand, too.
Nah.
He's got a Russell Brand vibe, trust me.
Todd Rundgren.
Tyler.
What is going on with Russell Brand over there? He's starting like a cult, right? Feels like he's got a
cult. It's bad
news. He got very into politics like a couple of years ago, and then he kind of disappeared off the main stream circuit. I don't know what he's up to now, but he's... You know, he's probably an anti-vaxxer. I don't know that for sure, but he's one of those. He's in that kind of area.
He's dancing around the anti-vax.
Yeah, and he's sniffing his farts a bit too much, too.
Yeah.
All right, Jen. Yeah. All the best.
Okay, good to see you guys. Thank you.
All the best
to
your lovely bride as well.
There is one part that they left out of the Sopranos movie.
What did I just say? Did I just
my
ask?
Too low. Oh, it's too high.
Oh, you're... Okay.
Got to get my...
I'm sorry, angle. You're setting up yourself for a pun.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's this part that was in the book. I read the book.
The book?
And, there's this part where they met JFK, like young Tony met JFK's wife. Mm-hmm. What's her name again?
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, Available now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jackie.
Oh!
I sanction that.
Thank you. Had to get it in.
Hey, let's do the city of the day!
Oh, shit.
The city of the day.
Nice. This is Mark Knopfler on this track, by the way.
He doesn't use a pick.
No, he does not. Let's go through the guitar players who don't use picks in rock.
Ooh.
I can think of one. Jeff Beck is known for not using a pick. I can think of another. Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
Courtney Barnett. I don't think she
does
uses
she not
a
use
pick.
A pick?
I don't think so.
Donovan just uses his long fingernails. Mm.
Friend of show, Matt Sweeney.
Mm. No pick?
No pick. He's wow. a pickman.
Yeah.
City of the day, Matt. Do we have somebody calling in?
Ooh. Forgot about that. You do the sponsor, and I'll find us.
Very
a city
good.
Of the day.
City of the day is brought to you by Onionade. Move over, Lemonade. There's a new aid in town introducing Onionade from Minute Maid. Some idiot at the factory accidentally ordered onions instead of lemons. I don't know if you want to admit that in the ad, but the flavor scientists at Minute Maid knew just what to do. Onionade has just two ingredients: onions and delicious corn syrup. No annoying skins to peel and no chopping required, but you'll be crying plenty because Onionade is loaded with real onions. And try our extra pulp Onionade for a thick mouthful of the stuff. So when it comes to lemonade, orangeade, or Onionade, Minute Maid has the best AIDS! Oh, don't clip me out screaming AIDS.
I got what I needed. I got
the this is a setup! You set me up. Also available in French onion, only available at grocery stores, all right? So go buy a box of that shit. What? That's another one of these ads that just tapers off at the end. I'm done. I did what I was supposed to. I did what I came here to do. I set him up on the AIDS drop. We don't like to make fun of these things, diseases, right? I don't think it's funny.
No, yeah.
I'm kidding, huh?
Charlie is our city of the day.
Oh, my son, who celebrates his fifth birthday today. That's so true, please huh? send Charlie all the best.
Is that true?
Really?
That is true.
Wow.
Happy birthday. That's a big one. Five.
Five is
that's huge.
Huge.
Do you remember your fifth birthday?
No.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Charlie, you're on the air.
Is this my son, Charlie? That's my son all grown up, Charlie. This is what he's going to look
Hi, Daddy.
Like, folks.
Hi, Daddy.
We've introduced, we've...
future son.
Yeah, we just paid for this with Zoom. They now do Zoom futures. Oh. And we can scale people up.
Age has treated me well.
Yeah. Hi, how was it? What a great dad I was, huh?
Well, except for that camping trip when that one thing happened.
Hey,
that would.
Let's not go there.
Oh. Yeah. I love you. I'm city today, right?
Of course you are.
Daddy. I'm in a small town in northern Norway called Bodø.
Of course you are. A Bodø?
It's called Bodø. And it's a small city just on the Arctic side of Norway.
Are you from the US?
Yeah, I'm from the US.
Okay.
What are you doing there?
I'm working at a university here.
Cool.
But
do you speak Norwegian?
What are you teaching?
Can I do the
interview? I'm teaching people about whales and things like that. Look, I don't want to talk about myself here.
You're teaching people about whales. What else is there to know? Look it up on the Wikipedia at whales.com. Oh, maybe he's teaching about the country of Wales.
Ooh. You never know, T.
Look, so I wanted to ask a question about a show that I just finished last week. And I wanted to see if anyone here has seen it and if they have any opinions about it. It's called Squid Game.
Oh, everybody's talking about the Squid Game.
Never heard of it.
So what's to it? Why is it blown up so much? And do you guys have any of you seen it? And do you have any opinions about it?
I saw it. I thought it was terrific. I mean, it's a very intense.
No spoilers, please. I haven't watched yet.
Fair enough. I haven't seen it yet.
No stress. I mean, but this, if you look at the news, if it's on the front page of the news, it says the number one show in the world or something. It's a phenomenon. Hmm. You got to check it out.
Tim, did you find did you find yourself fast forwarding at all? Because the pace is excruciating.
Yeah. You are
I'm
from
clicking
this,
that little button, making it go
Doug,
10 seconds.
You were born in the wrong gen. You are such a little X gen. What is it? Gen Z.
Doug, sometimes
you are such a little Gen Zer.
No, they stretch it out. It could be a feature film. It's great. I'm saying thumbs up, but geez, like moving along.
I thought
single moment has to be the most like drawn out, like suspenseful thing. It's like
I found it to be. I was enjoying. I enjoyed the whole thing. I mean, it did get it gets a little procedural, I'll say.
Thank you. Procedural. I'm right.
So Tim, or to the group, I wanted to ask, since you guys are Hollywood,
but it's fucked up. I mean, it's fucked up.
I like it. Yeah, I like
and
a nice Black
I will
Mirror
say,
style show.
These there's like, if you liked Parasite, it's in that it's you know it's kind of in that that mind space a little bit. Not only it's Korean, it's a Korean made show, but. It deals with class and the idea of this lower class, working class people who are like in debt and that the culture there.
T.
And I just want to just say this one thing.
Say one
that
thing.
It's these things, these shows and movies, whatever, that are like very canary in the coal mine situation. You know, it's very like, this is the, if you look at the kind of shows people are really responding to and the stuff that the original voices are really like are putting out there on the edge of you know, it's a bad sign. It's like there's shit rumbling out there that's going to go haywire.
Well, we happen to have a hotline caller right now who is a professional TV guy.
Can I say one thing about
no.
it?
No. Can weigh in on this too. Are you there, Eric?
Oh, I'm with the guest.
Should I ask Matt if I can say something about it?
Mr. Eric Wareheim, are you there?
Uh-huh. Hey, Tim.
Eric.
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I got bumped.
Are you still
promoting your book?
No. Okay. That's why I'm calling. Well, two reasons. One, I feel like the show is a little slow today, so I wanted to call in and get
a
burst of energy.
That's so disrespectful.
Wow.
No, like,
go
no,
ahead.
No, I love. Come on.
I knew that was.
I'm still. No. It's not. I'm just still high off of my last appearance with you. I felt like it was really fun to hang out, and people really enjoyed it. Our chemistry.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to call. Yeah, I just kind of missed you. Missed the Trinity.
No,
I just wanted to check in, and also I'm not. I wanted to say that I don't need to promote stuff just to come on office hours.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I feel like I'm a little bit under the gun here with you. I apologize. I mean, let me ask you. Well, and I really don't want to take focus off of Whitmer. I don't know if you... Do you know Whitmer socially? Do you know Whitmer Thomas? You'd like him.
I have not... I do like him.
Yeah.
Thanks,
a lot.
Man.
I don't really go out. So.
Right, I don't know. Did you get into the Squid Game yet?
I have not. I started it, and I'm very excited. There's a lot of buzz about it.
A lot of buzz.
But I'm still watching it. Yeah, so I got to watch the Sopranos thing.
You've not watched that
so
yet either.
To watch.
Dog.
No, I got to watch. I started it. It was wild, but I really can't wait. There's so much TV to get into.
Speaking of TV I haven't seen yet, I have yet to watch your – you were on Kimmel – Andrew. No, Jimmy Kimmel last night. How was that?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm totally honest. It was – you know how, like, nervous I get about those TV appearances? Like,
it's not
for
fun.
Some reason, out of everything we've done – there's, yeah, because we don't control it. We don't, like, direct it. You know, it's not really our audience. But me to be there by myself was even more terrifying because, you know, Tim Heidecker,
I can kind of run the pace on that. I'm a pace car.
Yeah.
That.
Sometimes I can just sit back, let Tim go, pop a couple jokes in, do a funny face, and boom, we got the number one Colbert.
Right.
You know, like, Clown Town was genius, but... So I was there by myself, you know, by myself, being like, "Holy shit, I got to do a whole interview." But it was great. You know, Jimmy was like, "Let me do a bunch of jokes."
He's
and
very,
gag.
He's a fan and a friend and a supporter. So it's you're in friendly territory there. And, nobody watches those shows anyway, so you can do whatever you want.
I know. I watched it at home at 12:35 a.m. I was like, who the fuck is watching at this hour?
Know.
You know, nobody.
No. But it's great.
No one that wants to hear me talk about some some bullshit.
Eric, can I say I want to thank you for, if I could speak here real quick, I just want to say thank you for teaching me how to make a Heimburger. I made it for my wife the other night, and she like thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very impressive.
Did you get some afterwards? You know what I'm saying?
No, I did not. I did not, but like, yeah. But the biggest tip is the paper, the whatever that kind of paper is you put on the burger, then you smash it down. It doesn't get stuck then. So life changing for me. Thank you.
That's the secret.
And the bacon.
Vic and I think we had a connection on the show with the Vic vision and just him asking some questions. And I knew he had some cooking skills because he had a couple tips he gave me. So it was just a great appearance on Office Hours.
Yeah. You know what really made the difference for me? It was a game-changing moment for me. And it sort of has something to do with you. Is you were wearing the lavalier out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched the playback, and you sound great. Mm-hmm. Your bass, the sound quality is terrific.
Dog.
And I said, guys, can't I just wear the fucking lav? Why do I have to have this microphone? And so now I'm wearing the lav.
I know.
And it sounds great. But the sound guy here goes, I don't know if it's going to work. Why wouldn't it work?
Dude, the sound issues, the beginning of that show was the best. That was like the most fun I've ever had hearing you scream about your monitors. It was reminding me of being on tour when they would put feedback in your monitors. You would have a full freak out.
Well, that only happened, to be fair, that only happened once in Chicago. Yeah. It was like when I lost it. I was tired. Yeah, no, I was over it.
About when you really, I just like when you lose it, whether it's fake, you fake lose it or you really lose it. It's sometimes
impossible to tell the difference. But that time in Chicago that you're referring to at the Vic, I was right by the monitor. Whit, you must have been in this situation. Right by the monitor, and I got blasted like a torture device in my ear with the feedback. Fuck this! Fuck it! The fuck! And stormed off. Because it was like I got punched in the ear.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's not nice.
Well, it's nice to be able to tap into your emotions.
I was worried. Anyways.
Well, listen, guys.
Yeah.
I have to go, but I just want to call and say hi. I love the show. Thanks for having me the other week.
You're like the new John C. Reilly, because he used to do this all the time. He used to call into Office Hours and bug me about the acai bowls. And then the joke was I would hang up. But
I'm like Dumbo.
You call him whenever you want.
Yeah, he's doing more of a bit, and I'm just calling it as friends. And that's what's important nowadays, is just to remember friendship and producer Matt and all that good stuff.
Right.
And
well, Matt knows that you've got a special line in.
He does.
You've got the red phone there.
Just put him right through it.
All right, talk to you later. I'll see you maybe next week.
Bye. Spanking day. Yeah, definitely. Bye.
Whit, are you feeling like the focus has been pulled from your appearance?
No, I'm, a fan.
You're just riding the clock.
I was happy.
You're just watching the clock. You're like, if I could just get through this.
No, I love the burger talk. I love Eric. So
But listen, big news. After the break today, we're going to get a song out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Big news song, which I got to see. I did your show at the Largo the other night.
Yeah. Thanks for doing it, man. You're great.
Oh, man, that was fun.
That Lenny Bruce.
Oh, I'm doing this bit now. I did it a few times now at Largo. I feel like I have a little bit of gold that I got that I don't want to give away.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Who cares? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tour that idea. But it is such a slam dunk of a bit.
It's a great bit.
It just delivers.
I don't see why you wouldn't tour that idea.
I just go out on the Lenny Bruce tour.
Just that idea.
Truly. I mean, you could milk it for an hour and a half if you wanted to.
And I will just say it's all it is I play, there's this Bob Dylan song called Lenny Bruce. Everybody can go listen to it. Nobody knows it. So that's the bet. Yeah, I say to the crowd, does anybody know the song Lenny Bruce? Nobody. One guy last night, I did another show at Largo last night. One guy in the front row who looks like a guy that would know this. I know it. But everybody else has just never heard this song. So then all I do is just sit there and play it, and we stop and talk about it. Because the lyrics are, you got to listen. Folks, if you want to listen to it. But also, if you want to save it for when you have the opportunity to see me live, it's a good time. And at your show, John C. came out, and sat with me, and he had never heard it, so I played it for him and got his first reaction. It's like a live reaction
but
video.
I don't know if you know this, but you have a signature move that I noticed.
What is it?
When you're at the keys,
mm-hmm.
you're like this. Because you're kind of at a weird angle.
It's a weird angle, yeah.
So every time you get to a weird part of the song that you need to comment on, or you don't even want to comment, you just want people to know, like,
pay attention, weird. Yeah.
You go like this.
It's one of my moves.
So I think next time you do a comedy special, you need to have a camera mm-hmm. just for the...
Right, yeah. Maybe I should do a comedy special that's a little bit between my other one and your thing, where it's not a full-on character, but
this is weird.
Yeah,
this is weird.
Drew is here.
Drew Magri's here. One more thought on that, just quickly, and forgot it, but it's important. what was it? Oh, well, thank you for doing an impression of me. I think it's something that doesn't get talked about enough. We need more people doing impressions of me.
I can do. I got impressions of you all day, man.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, give me one.
I have so many great ideas.
I can't do a voice.
The voice is nothing because it's just there's nothing distinctive about my voice.
There is
Drew Magri. Get over here.
Tim Heider.
Get in my house. Get in my garage.
How you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm alive and well. Thank you for having me aboard.
It's appreciate great to meet you. We're
funny.
No disrespect now. Are you 9 feet tall? Because the way your camera is, it looks like you're standing. It looks like you're a giant.
I work from a standing desk. I was inspired, of course, by Donald Rumsfeld to do that. After my last back surgery, they said, well, how do you work? And I was like, well, I work like every other human being. I sit in a chair and I hunch over a laptop and I'm slowly drawn into the monitor until all my vertebrae pop. That's totally normal, right? And he's like, no, no, no. He's like, you should stand up at a desk. And I was like, that's for losers, weirdos. But now I do it.
It's changed your life. Do you have a little, like a cushiony thing for your feet? Like you stand on a pad?
I bought one. We're already writing up old man shit. So I bought one and I was like, Oh,
we're going to talk old man shit all day. I mean,
it'll be so good, my little standing mat. And then I never use it. So I spent $100 for nothing.
So do you ever take breaks and sit down? You must sit down a little bit.
No, I take breaks to like go into the fridge to see if there's food. And then there's no food. And then I go, fuck. And then I come back.
Where are you right now?
And then I tweet that there's no food anywhere.
Where in the country are you right now?
I'm in Bethesda, Maryland, the main streets of Bethesda, Maryland. Very hard knock life here. Lobster. Very tough, very difficult.
Yeah, what is that? Fuck. What is Bethesda? That's like military?
Fuck. No, I mean, I live near Walter Reed, but it's basically the D.C. suburbs.
D.C. suburbs, okay.
Like if you're a lawyer and you live in D.C., this is where you live.
Right.
Mm. Also, if you ever saw Breach.
George Washington.
The Billy Ray movie about... the CIA guy, I think I want to say Aldrich James, but oh no, it's about Robert Hansen. That's all set in Bethesda. So you can see all of Bethesda's fantastic architecture of shopping plazas and poorly designed metro stations and like hotels that have flags outside of them.
Right. Sort of semi-dignified places to stay for conventions.
Yes.
First of all, USA! Just so people understand who you are, Would you consider yourself primarily a sports writer or just like you write about kind of whatever you want to write about at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say writer. I used to not say that back when I was blogging because I was like, oh, writers are so pretentious. But I've written enough now where I count as a writer.
It's your job. Whether I like it or not. It's your vocation.
It's what I do. Yeah.
And you started or not started, but you wrote for Deadspin and then you guys all left and started your own subscription, like independent site.
That's right. Yeah. We all quit right around Halloween of 2019. And then a little less than a year later, we started defector.com, which still exists and is still
is it thriving?
A viable business.
It's thriving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like we can pay our own health insurance. Like
that's
we're not
amazing.
Die of starvation.
This is the future of like how interesting people work and do things, I think.
It is. We have disrupted the entire media industry, Tim. I mean, we are We're in the next Nike. It's so we're the next Aussie Media. Like Aussie Media is Aussie, nothing.
Can you explain the Aussie Media thing? Because I don't. I kind
can
of like
anybody. You know,
I don't know. Like I remember. Do you know anything about it?
No. Nope.
Ozy. There's certain things that happen in Twitter world where I miss like a day of Twitter, and then it's like you forget trying to catch up on what the hell is going on.
Right, or you're really glad that you just weren't there for it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't have to give a fuck about any of it.
But that was some new media venture that was what, like a Ponzi scheme, or is it just nothing? It was just...
Yeah, it was one of those media things. It was run by a dude named Carlos Watson, who talked it up as like the next big media venture and stuff like that. But nobody had ever read any of their shit.
Right.
But he kept getting all this VC funding because he knew lots of people. He was like he was good at like schmoozing or whatever the fuck.
Right.
And it turned out that like they, all their numbers were fake, like in terms of readership, but also they had a show of his called the Carlos Watson Show. And they said it was one of the biggest shows on YouTube, but that was only because they paid to have it be the pre-roll ad before you watched a YouTube video. Mm. So like there would be a pre-roll ad that was three hours long.
Oh shit. That's not nice.
And
that's not
even
fair.
Like it wasn't even a real show. It was like, it was snippets from old like conference chats he had, like panel talks with like famous people who didn't even know that they were going to be used for that.
I'm so suspicious when I see something like that Tim Pool. You know Tim Pool?
I mean, I'm suspicious of all Tims.
Right. No, Tim Pool is this like right wing grifter guy who's got a YouTube show, and he has a live show that he does on YouTube every day. And it's nothing but it's so boring. But they just talk about, you know, everything you can imagine that dimwit right wingers talking about. Oh, there's this, you know, conspiracy with the vaccination, all this stuff. But he has like 50,000 live viewers a day or something at times. But then he gets those YouTube tips. Those what are they called?
Super chats. Yeah.
And there's like money flying in there, like hundreds and thousands of dollars.
It's believed to be like.
But
bots.
This is what I'm saying. It seems like it's bots that are putting money into
like
the tip
doing
jar.
It, yeah.
So like people are like, I'm going to join. Yeah. You know, it feels like that confirmation.
Yeah. Like why would you give somebody $500? Like, like that's just asking dumb questions.
There's a lot of grifts out there.
I am not.
Also, like, because I have three kids and they watch people on YouTube. They don't watch like right-wing grifters, but they'll watch like people play like Minecraft. Fucking wrecked this Enderman and all that stuff. And I'm such an old man. I'm like, I can't watch another person like play a fucking video game.
Well,
like,
it's funny you bring this up because I want to talk about the Dodgers with you real quick.
Okay.
And baseball, because you're a sports guy. People hate it when I talk baseball. But somebody was talking, a friend of mine was saying he's got a teenager and he's like, he walks in and he's watching him play video games. He's watching his son watch somebody play video games online. And his dad's like, what are you doing, man? It's a total waste. He's like, dude, you sit and watch baseball. What is the difference? And he goes, well, it's a big difference. And he goes, no, it's not. It's literally you're watching some other people do something.
I do it all the time. Yeah. I watch video games.
You watch
people
video games?
People play video games better than I could ever plan.
I think also there's
whoop ass.
I don't know if it's a definitive like line like in age, but like it's wherever the point is between people who consider esports actual sports and people who don't.
Right.
And I don't. Like I want to be inclusive of e-gamers.
Yeah.
But then I watch them. You know, on TBS, I'm not watching this shit. Fuck.
I just gave Doug a wink. I was like, we get the Oregon. We get it. Or was that Vic?
No, it wasn't me this time.
It wasn't me.
By the way, I apologize to all the gamers watching.
They're busy playing games.
That's Vic.
Yes, everybody's going to say you're wrong on this. And who are we? We are just mortal men. But let's just say, how about them Dodgers last night? How about that game? Did you watch it?
I watched two innings of it and then I went to sleep tired and brain damaged. But I woke up and I was like, I always have this thing where if I'm watching like a Sunday night football game or a baseball game and like the lead seems kind of out of hand, then I've given myself moral permission to bail.
Sure.
And be like, I don't have to watch it. And last night's game wasn't even like that. It was 1-1 for like seven innings or something.
Well,
so
it was 1-1 for nine innings.
It was 1-1 for nine innings, so I had a responsibility to stick around as a sports writer,
yeah,
and I didn't.
That
so I
sucks.
Should be fired.
Well, I was watching it. I was backstage at Largo last night, and I was watching it on a little iPhone that was set up against on the table there. And just like I could, it was like in the olden days when you're watching on a little tiny TV or something. And I had to be quiet because there was a show going on. And I'm all in on the Dodge. I've just become a big fan. I love watching the games. And when do you get to see a walk-off homer in the playoffs? It doesn't happen. It's like a fun, really special thing.
Especially in an all or nothing game, it's fucking great.
I know. I mean, yeah, it's essentially a game seven in one game. And holy shit, at home at Dodger Stadium with Chris Taylor, who's been slumping, two outs, you know, like Cody Bellinger gets on first, he's been slumping. So it's like, it was just one of those magical moments. And I was there and I could not, I had to go, what? No. You know, like, but it was, and then I fucked up. I went out on stage. I had to go on right after that, like 5 minutes later. And I knew Andy Richter, who was hosting the show, I knew he was watching and interested in the game. And so I said, Andy, I got great news. Dodgers just won. And somebody in the audience goes, well, thanks a lot.
Like that on DVR.
Yeah, like,
well, no spoilers.
Sorry, sorry, bro. Like, if it matters that much to you, just don't go to this stupid show.
When you normally watch a Dodgers game, like, do you make bro sounds like I do? Like, do you, like, pump your fist and you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I get so, people don't expect this out of me because I'm like a weirdo, arty guy, you know? Folky, I'm weird spaghetti guy. He's into art. He must just be into weird art movies. But I get real broed and testosteroned out watching these baseball games. It's the only sport I really watch, but ooh, fuck yeah! Yeah. That shit's coming out of me all the time. Yeah, come on, fucking go!
Calm down.
It's fun. It's fun to let the inner bro
so fun. Out. And you know what happened? My daughter, who's 8, she just had her first baseball practice. We signed her up for a little league, if you will.
What's it called? Like baseball?
Yeah.
Like baseball?
Yeah.
With an 8-year-old?
Yeah.
Like, do they pitch or is it off a tee?
It's the coach throws it in.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's really cute. And, but I showed up there.
There's another 8-year-old throwing heat energy.
No, there's no 8-year-old pitching going on. And there were kids younger than that, but, I showed up just to watch, but it was pretty disorganized. And the guy that was the coach, I just said like, "Hey, coach, you need some help? You know, you want some help here?" So I came on the field and became sort of like the assistant coach. I was like first base coach. You know what I mean? Like,
it's awkward, right?
It's not. I loved it. I was right in. I was just there, like, "Come on, let's go, bring it in, let's do it, come on." And like, I was like, "I think I'm gonna take over this coach position." Because I think
did you demand that there be chatter amongst the players?
Come on now. Come on, bring it in. And then when anybody hit the ball, because then we did a little scrimmage with this other team that was there, any kid connected, I go, oh! Like, oh, run, come on, fucking run!
Did you get to do the base coach?
Yes, like, totally. Great. Come on, go around. But it was great, and my daughter was so happy and like excited that I was a part of it. I can't wait to go back. And that coach is his days are numbered. Because I'm like, you know, what we could do is we could get a little base running. You know, like, anyways. Your book. I want to get to your book, but I do want to talk about The Sopranos. The book is. Oh, yeah. I have no research here. Tell me everything about it. The night the lights went out. That's cool that it's not backwards. I was imagining you'd put that up and it would be the mirror image.
Everybody, by the way, everybody I know asks if that's me. It's not, but it's a good representation of what happened to me.
So what happened to you?
I was at the Deadspin Awards in 2018, and we had a little after party at a karaoke bar, and I went to the bathroom to take a piss.
Nice.
And I collapsed. I collapsed and I shattered my skull in 3 places.
Jesus Christ.
I shattered the temporal bone, which is the hardest bone in the body. It sheared through my inner ear and rendered me deaf, which is why I have this. And nobody saw.
You're deaf in one ear?
I'm deaf in one ear, but this is a cochlear implant to correct it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, my Deadspin colleagues, they walked out into the hall. They saw me there, like on the floor with a pool of blood behind my head, like a Coen Brothers movie. And they're like, holy shit.
He just got whacked.
They rushed to save my life because the paramedics like were like, well, this guy's drunk. And like they like bumbled me out. Like they had to carry me out on a gurney, like up concrete steps. And they're like, oh my God, holy shit. And then they got me to the hospital, and it turned out the hospital was the wrong hospital to treat a brain hemorrhage. And so they had to drive me to another hospital. Like I was Homer Simpson, like crashing into the tree in an ambulance. And anyway, so then I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and then I was in the hospital for another 3 weeks. And then I had to spend a year recovering and learning to be a person who was deaf and couldn't smell and couldn't taste I couldn't taste like bacon anymore and shit.
So you had a, well, just put the gun in my mouth at that point. I mean, if you can't taste bacon, goodbye. No. So what was it, an aneurysm?
It was a hemorrhage, a brain bleed. So,
and you were just,
they don't know whether or not my fall was caused by the hemorrhage or vice versa. To this day, there's still no explanation
for
it.
And do you remember like the moment you dropped, or is it just
no? I just remember walking out into a hallway, and then I woke up in the hospital, and there was a nurse there, and I thought it was the next day, and I thought I had gotten into like a fist fight and lost while I was drunk or something. And I said to the nurse, I was like, what day is it? It's December 6th or whatever. And she's like, no, it's December 19th. You've been in a coma for 2 weeks. And I said, what? I said, excuse me?
Shit.
And I was like, shit. Like, because also like I had a train to catch the next day. So I was like, oh, I missed the train. And like I had a rental tux for the awards. I was like, I hope someone returned the tux and I don't get fined for it.
Are you a family man? Are you kids or anything like that?
Yeah, my wife and three kids. And they were in Maryland when it happened, and my wife had to come up, and they and the people who owned Deadspin at the time, they got an Airbnb on the Upper West for her and my kids to essentially relocate to while I was in the coma and recovering in the hospital. And they had to essentially commute between Maryland and there while I learned how to like stand up again.
Jesus. Was there a period like right away where that there was concern if you like, they're like this, he might not make it because you're in a coma. Right.
There was so I had a brain hemorrhage, and basically my surgeon told me after the fact was that it's usually something that people can recover from if they're operated on 4 hours from the moment of injury, from the moment of impact. I was operated on 6.5 hours after I suffered the injury.
That's more than four.
And then afterward, the doctors told my family, they're like, listen, he will survive from this, but we don't know what's going to happen when he wakes up. Mm. If he wakes up, like there was a possibility of a vegetable.
How old are your kids at this time?
My kids are currently 15, 12, and 9. So they were like, so this was like two or 3 years ago. So, subtract or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she had to deal with,
we'll have Vic on that. Vic, get on that math.
And she pulled them out of school for a bit. And my daughter, her choir teacher, gave her an F for missing like a recital or something.
Give me her, let's dox her. Give me the whole.
It wouldn't excuse her.
I want the name. I want her address. I want the phone number. We're doxing the shit out of this woman. Fuck her. That's crazy. Everybody has trouble. Everyone has problems. So you're not unique. But
no, I'm not special. We've all been there.
Witz had terrible tragedy in his life.
Yeah, I lied about all of it. But yeah.
But. Well, everybody should check out the book. We didn't get a copy. Son of a bitch.
I think they're
saying we have to buy one.
That's on me, so I apologize. No. But the book, I swear, is not, if I'm pitching it to you, you're going to be like, oh, it's a bad guy. I got sick. That's not going to be any fun. Okay. But I swear to God, I tried to make it as entertaining as I possibly.
Well, you're an entertaining writer. I enjoy you on Twitter, and I enjoy reading your articles, even though this last one made me very upset.
Because of The Sopranos.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Did you like the movie?
Here's what I felt. There's a little backstory that needs explaining. I just was in Italy working on a movie with Alessandro Nivola.
Oh. Well, so, didn't know he was chums with you.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a problem. But I'm sorry for the audience that I've told this story, but the short version of it is when we were having dinner, first met the guy, very first time I met this guy, I randomly brought up the Sopranos movie. Now, this is over the summer, so the trailer hadn't come out, the poster hadn't come out. Randomly brought it up because we were talking kind of about how movies were coming out and whether there are going to be people back in the theaters.
I wonder the food sucks.
And I said, what's going on with that Sopranos movie? And I did not know he was in it. I didn't know anything,
he's
right?
He's the lead!
Yeah, I didn't know he was in it. And he goes, oh, I think it's coming out in October. And I said, I don't think people are going to be running out to the movie theater to see that movie. And he's like, are you fucking with me? Like, I go, what? He goes, I'm like the lead in the movie. And it was awful. It was like this awful stomach dropping moment. But he thought it was hilarious. And it turns out he's a really great guy, super great. And I was just rooting for him. And I just felt like, I thought he's great in the movie. I think you would concede that.
He's fantastic in the movie. And
you're calling it a movie now.
He's so good looking.
Look at this guy. He's calling it a movie.
Believe the balls on this prick.
The fucking guy goes online on Twitter now. You hear about this? He goes, the Sopranos movie's not a movie. I get it. You got to get people to click. I understand.
But Nivola was a classmate of my brother's at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my connection to it. So I was rooting for him to be good in it. He was.
And
he was good.
Listen, the gang and I, we have our patron here. The gang and I invited 20 patrons to go see it in the theater. And so we had a fun like Friday night at the movies. I hadn't been back in the movie theater since the pandemic. So it was the first time I was back in the movie theater. We, you know, had our popcorn and we had friends there and we just had fun with it. Like I kind of divorced myself of caring whether it was a good movie or a bad movie or just anything. I went along for the ride. I had low expectations because I think it's an impossible task, considering the show. It's just like, don't expect this to be good. Don't expect this to be anything. And I was impressed with it. I thought it was funnier than I was expecting. I thought Vera Farmiga was fantastic as the mom. I thought there were like three or four really good scenes. Like I thought the beach scene no spoilers. I thought that scene was like impressively, there's moments where it reminded me of the show in ways that wasn't expecting. Like, but whatever. I just think people say, well, how can you have a perspective on this because you're such a fan of the show? Well, how can I divorce myself of my feelings for the show? And why would I? And why should I? Why would it matter? Like, it is a fan. It does play to the fans. And I will say the other thing is like, I liked the things that I didn't like about it. Like I enjoyed the things that I didn't like about it. You know, they were fun too. Like I liked that I didn't like Ray Liotta in it.
Yeah.
You know,
like I half liked him. He was great.
His second half was great. First half, I go to Doug. I'm like, yikes, we're in trouble.
Yeah. you said,
what'd I say?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but there was a part where you're like, luckily we don't have any more. We don't have to see him anymore.
Right.
But then we did.
Then we did. And I thought the ending was the ending was bumpy and weird.
Yeah.
But I was just like, whatever. It just feels like one of those critic-proof movies a little bit. Go ahead. I'll let you counter.
The other thing is I watched it at home on HBO Max.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you got to have a Bavarian Legend.
Yeah, I know.
You got to watch it at the bed.
That was the problem.
Right. Because also the other thing is that you had like sort of the LA movie experience, right? Like I went to like one of the premieres of like Proof of Life with Russell Crowe and Meg Ryan, which is like a totally average movie, but I saw an LA premiere of it, and the audience was all fucking fired up and like going nuts for every scene. And I was like, this movie fucking rules. And
then it's I so walked true. out of it.
And then like 2 hours later, I was like, eh, the movie kind of sucked, actually. But I had such a nice time while I was there.
It's true.
I remember.
That's what I said. Tim, you asked me what I thought of it. And I was like, I loved it. I loved it. Because I loved the experience just getting out and seeing people. And I hadn't been in the movies for 3 years.
I like that the son is playing the dad. That's important to me, I think. That's important. Nice.
Did you guys have any problems being in a movie theater for the first time since the pandemic? Because I did that for the Bourdain documentary. Mm. And I was so happy to be back in the theater. Like, I got popcorn.
Yeah.
And, like, I went to the butter pump, like, 9,000 times. I was so horny for butter popcorn.
Doug, you want to explain what you got? This is a huge condiment. Or not condiment.
I spent $48 on condiments I got.
Not condiments, on treats.
I got a Bavarian Legend, which is a 1.5-pound pretzel.
Yeah.
A small popcorn, peanut M&Ms for Tim. And a large drink.
Yeah, this what's it called? The Bavarian Legend?
Bavarian Legend.
It was this pizza the size of, it was a pretzel the size of a small pizza.
Wait a minute. It smells so good.
Do you know what sport?
I liked it. I mean, I didn't feel, I had the mask on. I'm vaccinated. Whatever. I felt safe.
Yeah, I went to the movies before the Delta wave hit, so I haven't been back since.
Right.
I definitely took. I'm gonna keep the mask on while I'm watching the movie. But there are only three people in the theater besides me, so like 5 minutes, and I was like, oh fuck this.
Yeah. I listen. It's like I said. It feels a little like people are gonna have. I don't know.
Like, the ending stressed me out when they started the theme song, because then I'm like looking at Tony Soprano's kid and what he looks like, and there's this huge chunk of time until he like looks like James Gandolfini, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's like
the timeline was weird. I will say, like, the thing that didn't
feels
click,
like there's something
the
missing.
Thing that I really didn't like plot wise was, and we're just gonna spoil this. Fuck you if you haven't seen it. Whatever, it's been out a week. But
oh my God,
Junior whacking. Dickie over what? That little remark? It just felt like that wasn't
what
earned,
else was there?
Right?
Yeah.
I actually liked that part because it was suitably petty.
I don't care that
it's important that we disagree at every
turn.
Actually, I thought Alessandro Nivola was terrible.
Yeah. What a miss. I also thought that woman, the Italian woman, was really good too. Like, I don't know, she was.
She was. Yeah, I thought she was good.
Anyways,
it was just. It felt like a jumble of parts that didn't quite cohere.
I understand.
Swinging a miss.
Tim, there's this one scene they left out where the young young soprano was playing his sport. Do you know what sport he was playing?
What sport was he playing?
T-ball.
No, it sucks.
There was another part they cut out where Tony got this new CD player. And this
Whit laughed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. No, excuse me, man. Excuse me. I'll tell you. If they ever put this up on Broadway, I think it would win a Tony. Hello? If they ever put The Sopranos on Broadway, I think it would win a Tony.
What tenor will they be singing in?
No.
I mean, that was one of the things about the movie was that you kind of tell they're going to make a sequel to the prequel. Or mega spin off, like they're gonna Star Wars it into life.
You think so?
Chase said maybe.
Well, is it a success? Let me ask you. Do you know? Would you I mean, I know that critics are beating up on it, and the LA Times did this dumb. Sir, there's a lot of shit I hate about the state of film criticism right now. Like, I think it's like some of the stupidest shit in the world. With like the Rotten Tomatoes and the rankings and shit like that. Some of it is just so mean and stupid and pointless. But like the LA Times did this thing, what went wrong with The Sopranos? And they had three writers talk about it, but there was never a perspective from a person that just liked it, which is, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there.
I mean, that's exclusionary and really almost racist when you think of it.
But wait.
We got to go.
Is it considered a hit?
I don't box office wise, I don't think it made a lot of money. So no,
I was right.
I'm sure a bazillion people watched it on HBO Max.
Right.
So I don't know what the metrics are anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know to know if anything, like, I guess Squid Game is a smash because
but also there are like movies like that don't make any money here, but the foreign rights are sold before they're even released anywhere, and they turn a profit that way, and then there's a sequel and you're like, well, how that fucking Uwe Boll movie?
Yeah,
get, I always like three sequels, and that's why. So the economics of it are completely lost.
I like if you go on a plane and they show the movies that are like they have every movie now on planes, and yes. You put them in alphabetical order. And I was looking at this the other like a couple weeks ago. I was on a flight. And there's like three Bruce Willis movies out right now that are like never heard of them. They're like weird action sci-fi movies that are just like they're all competing against each other. It's like who is watching this?
But he has a deal. He'll do any movie for $1 million.
Is that right?
Yeah, if he can shoot it in 2 days for $1 million, he'll do it.
He does all these direct-to-video movies, even though video doesn't exist anymore, right. And they're all shot in like Chechnya.
Yeah. Yeah, he drops in. They parachute him in, and he's out in 2 days. Drew, we have to go, and I have to let you go. Thank you so much for doing this.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And
thank you for having me on.
Good luck with the book, and good luck Defector. I'm so glad people like you are out there shaking it up, shaking the media landscape up, saying fuck you to the gatekeepers.
That's right. Beating the man. And we can disagree civilly about a Sopranos movie.
Absolutely.
Anytime you want. So thanks so much, guys.
This guy's going to go out to his car and get pang, pang right in the back, two in the back. All right, Drew.
And folks, petty whacking.
We'll be back in 5.
Oh, wait. It's a quick show biz to take care of. Sorry, Drew. We're off next week.
Yes,
everyone should know that. But John Glazer, a.k.a. New York Jonathan, will be doing a patron-only Zoom hang next Thursday at 10.
Isn't that nice of him?
It's going to be fun. Back to you, Tim.
Back to you, Matt. We are going to take a 5-minute break. We'll be back with your Zooms. Wit is going to play us a beautiful new tune. Talk some more. I hope you're having a good time.
Having a blast.
Great.
Excited.
Fucking Casey Kasem.
And Doug, take it away with some fun music.
He sits in daddy's basement. All he does is shake and bake.
Hey, folks. This is Casey Kasem. I hope you are enjoying Office Hours. Are you enjoying it? Okay, good. I wanted to let you know that if you're not a patron, you're missing out on a lot of show each week. Yep, that's right. Patreon members get a full bonus 60 minutes of some of the finest comedy in podcast form. Sign up now at patreon.com/officehoursLive and you'll have instant access to all of the bonus shows like The Compound, Joel Hohen, Please, Please Let It Be. We'll also get producer Matt's new interview show along with mixtapes and more. Now, on the count of three, head over to the show's Patreon page. Are you ready to sign up? Good. On with the countdown, let's count. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Time to sign up.